Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by generous contributors like you. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully in his 47th year, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. and the call to worship is made at 10 a.m. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. With all that's going on around the world, in today's message, Dr. Williams challenges all of us Christians. It's time to be bold with our Christianity. We walk with the Holy Spirit within us. It's time to step up to the plate. And he titles this week's message, It's Time to Get Up.
If we could ever picture it in our mind that Jesus loved us, and many of us were low down and dirty, but he looked beyond that and saved us. If somebody denies you when you are dying, you're not going to try to help them when you get up. Peter denied him. What did he say? Tell Peter I'm alive. Which means I can forgive anything because I'm God. Before you take that out of context, you can do anything you want to do because God is in you.
If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the 7th chapter of Luke. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Our subject, it is time to get up. It is time to get up. Thank you, Brenda, for the song. If you're here today and are not saved, there's no reflection against you. But after today, it will be because you know how, or you will know how, to get up and accept Christ. You say, but I don't want to come down. You don't have to come down. You can just bow where you are. Get up and bow. But you need to know for yourself that you're saved. Amen. I don't know whether you are keeping up. In Germany, a guy took a bus, just went into a crowd, killed some people. In a house in this country, they ran into a house and it exploded and killed somebody. They was in there minding their own business. We don't know how long we have. But if you're saved, it won't be your worry. You just slide out of this life into the higher life. And so I tell you after service, after the message, think about it. Well, I'm not ready. You never will really. I don't think so. Let me put it this way. I don't think I would ever use the word I'm ready to go. No. No, I'm ready, but I'm ready to go. Not ready to go. But I'm ready whenever the going time comes. And so it's time to get up. You pray for me today. When I was growing up, I used to hear my friends say, I don't like in the morning to be told that it's time for me to get up. Or did you hear me? Get up. They said they didn't like that. Well, then you ought to get up. Listen, beloved. Anybody in here knows about being down? Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't fool me now. Down as in a state of defeat, depression, and anxiety. Some say, I am down on my luck, simply meaning that good fortune is just passed by my place of residence and I can't even flag it down. Others say, I'm feeling down or I'm down in the dumps, meaning my emotional state is, my friend, sad, depressed, and defeated. I have shut the shades in my home, turned off my phone, and lit a candle because I'm in a bad spot. Everybody has had some down days. We don't like to talk about it, don't want anybody to know it, but if you've lived more than a day and you're more than 5 years old, you've had some down days. Still others say, life has just beat me down. Every day it seems like I'm going 12 rounds with Eli Muhammad. And when I get through with that fight, my friend, I got Mike Tyson, George Foreman, Joe Frazier waiting in the wing. See who's going to take one down. Can't keep any food down. People seem to be talking me down, taking me down. If they are not careful, we about to throw down. Like the song, you've been down so long that down don't bother you. And you feel like you want to take, my friends, you want to take all of your trouble and down in the deep blue sea. I want to suggest to you today that there is an alternative, because here is the promise for us in the message. It's all in the message about down. Down. I had a spell of downness for almost 6 months. I just couldn't get myself together when they found my daddy dead. I had a massive stroke. I mean, I was really down because I was close to him. I hear a lot of times, I hear it now recently. When he passed, I went home to his service. And they telling me, you know, I wasn't preaching then. He told me in January, you're running to California because you don't want to preach. You're going to preach anyway. And he said, let me tell you this, so I'll never see you alive again. Well, I didn't want to hear that, so I didn't say anything. Couldn't say much anyway. He was in my house, but he was still the boss. And so he died, and I left in May, and he died in October the 13th. And he was right. He never did see me alive again. I couldn't help that played in my mind. That's why you had to be so careful down in other people. Because when you get through downing them, it's recorded in your mind. And every now and then, it will come up. You all now listen. Let me go here. Don't raise your hand. How many of you all did some stuff years ago, and nobody know what you think, but every now and then, it comes up again? And Virginia said, it will always. The mind doesn't work the way you think it works. And so the best thing, say what's right, and you don't have to worry about what's coming up. Build relationships instead of tearing them down. Church, perhaps maybe for you, it's time to get up. Get yourself up by the power of God and keep on living. So praises be to God for this life seen in name. That's in that chapter. For today we will see Jesus do what we can't do for ourselves. Church, if you sneak a peek at one of those times today in a tiny helmet called Nam, we will see Jesus do the incredible when he comes into your impossible situations. Like many are feeling today, it was a time of death. Verse number 12. When Jesus came to Nam, that day he did not arrive at a joyous moment. He arrived during a time of great grief and mourning. Now, in those days, it was different than what it is today. The name Nam literally means beauty, but there was no beauty in this town that day. Death had invaded the little town. Church, we see on the surface death physically. That's what we see. But we are told that the victim is a young man, verse 14, that he is the only son of his mother, verse 12. And we are told that he has passed away. Great crowds of mourners are making their way through the gates of the city to a little cemetery where he is to be buried. As was the custom in that day, the people of the city had stopped what they were doing and had joined the funeral processions as it made its way through the town. Amen. That's where it was, like it was where I came from. The first time I heard a young person die, as he was 17, it took a lot out of all of us who was young. It was 400 or 500 of us who was young went to his service. That was almost unheard of hearing a young kid in my day to die. He drowned because he listened to other kids teasing him because he couldn't swim. Amen. The mother would have been in front, and those who carried the open coffin would have followed her. Behind them would have been those who were mourning the boy's death. Some may have been friends and relatives. Others may have been paid to come and help mourners the death of the boy. Now, they did pay mourners in many areas in that time. They don't do that today. Thank God for that. Those bringing up the rear would have been the town folks who followed out of respect for the family. I'm talking about it's time to get up. You say, But I can't do that. It's too much against me. You can get up if you want to get up. This lady who has both of her legs off, and she got some kind of deal they made for her, and she can move around, and she cooks for herself. And she have no legs. She has no legs. Yet she can get up because she bought some equipment to help her. Half of us in here today and half of you who are listening to me, some of you are blaming sickness that you can't get up. Sometimes the only thing you need to do, come here, Mike, when you don't feel well and you can't hardly move around, reach out and catch something with this hand. Catch something with this hand. Then get up Stand up for a few minutes so the blood can circulate. Then as the blood circulates, you don't need this hand no more. Hold this one. Then move to the balance where you're going. And then if you're in the name of Jesus, you get some new strength that you didn't think you had. Amen. It is never good for anybody to just lay on the couch and lay in the bed when they have the power to get up and won't get up.
Come on, Pastor, tell the truth.
Amen. I told you this 100 times. It really hurt my heart. I mean, I cried over it. I went home trying to out-talk my mother to quit her job after she lost her leg, took the foot off, and they took the leg off, and she worked. She didn't have to do that. She worked. And I said, but Mom, it looks bad when you don't have to do it. She said, but you can go back to Chicago. I'm going to work. I'm not going to lay around here and wait on death. If death wants me, death has to catch me. And she worked until 6 weeks before she couldn't work and die. She didn't have to work. Her boys paid the light bill, the gas bill, the water bill, and also gave her money every month. But we found out later she was working for her lazy grandkids who lived next door to her. You missed it. These are my babies. Baby, nothing. If you got one leg, go somewhere and sit down till you need yourself. You said, Pastor, you mean, no, I'm not. I'm dealing with reality. Reality is not going nowhere. And we sang too many of that song that you all know that I don't know. Pull me, pull me, pull me. Why did it happen to pull me? Quit singing that song. Give it up. Give that song up, friends. Church, listen carefully. Here's what we know about death from a biblical standpoint. It has been part of the human experience ever since man sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. Death and its pain is part and partial of the human experience. That's why you see people a lot of time going crazy at funerals. They're not going crazy because the person's dead. They're going crazy because they didn't do their job. If you do your job, you will be hurting, have pain, but you won't go crazy. Guilt is more powerful than you think it is. Amen. That's why people say, well, you know, I'm saved. You're saved and living any kind of way you want to live, and it doesn't bother you. That's questionable. Because if you're really saved, when you do certain things, it bothers you. I was in Canada, and where we was eating, you could drink beer free. There are 3 different kinds of beer in a keg, a barrel. You just go get what you want, help yourself. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I'm glad they didn't have that when I used to drink beer. And it wouldn't happen to you. And so then, the minute I said that, it's like a taste came in. I could taste that slits. But the issue was, because I had the Holy Spirit within me, I had power not to drink it. I got power over my taste. Or my wishes, or what I want to do. A lot of things I want to do, I can't do them because there's something on the inside saying to me, That's not right. I obey him because it's going to be him that takes care of me if I have problems. Help me today, Holy Ghost. Friends, death and its pain is part and partial of the human experience. In fact, Hebrews 9:17, look what it says. It said, it is appointed unto men once to die. What happens at Nain is what has been happening to men since down through times. Amen. But you'll see in a minute, nothing is too secret. Nothing is too powerful for Almighty God. Church, listen carefully. Beloved, let me just say this. So you will know as death has come for others, one day it will come for you and I. Unless the Lord returns, no matter how good we look or how good we feel, death will invade our ranks. Amen. Amen. One of our members years ago with the old church went home to Texas to bury her father. On her way from the cemetery, they had an accident. She got killed. She went to bury the father. And she got killed. The husband didn't feel like going, and he had to go there. Death doesn't discriminate. It has been appointed to all of us that we have a time to live and a time to die. You say, I'm not worried about it. You don't have to be. It's all settled. You don't have anything to worry about when it comes to death. God already settled that, and it's not in no box. It's in the Bible. Listen carefully. We see death, the death of our potentials, and I'm sure that this mother had great admiration and high hopes for her son. As an illustration says, it says, so of like a mother was taking her 4-year-old daughter to school. The mother, who was a doctor and had left her, my friend's, tools on the car seat that she works with. And the little girl picks up, my friends, her mother's tools and very enthusiastically began to play with it. The mother thought to herself, excellent. My daughter wants to follow in my footsteps. Listen carefully. Then the child spoke into the instrument. Hello, I welcome to McDonald's. And may I take you and take your order? She wasn't going to follow after the mother. She was following after McDonald's. Because she saw in her tools a picture of a hamburger. That makes some of you hungry right now. Let me move on here. We laugh, but the truth is, if you are a good parent, you have high hopes for your children. But for whatever reason, this young boy potential seemed to be cut short. Here was a young man whose life had been filled with great possibilities. Friends, you might not like what your children have done or are doing, but you still got to love them. Amen. Amen. You say, but they are doing dirty things. You still got to love them. If we could ever picture it in our mind that Jesus loved us, and many of us were low down and dirty, but he looked beyond that and saved us. If somebody deny you when you are dying, you're not going to try to help them when you get up. Peter denied him. What did he say? Tell Peter I'm alive. Which means I can forgive anything because I'm God. And before you get onto that, before you take that out of context, you can do anything you want to do because God is in you. Since you've been saved, part of your savedness is God. I can't forgive them. They're mistreating me. You can do it if you want to. But the problem is you are too mean. You don't want to do it. Amen. Amen. You said, Pastor, I tried. No, you didn't. You thought about it. You didn't try. I had a bad experience here in Sacramento with my son and the police. But when it was over, we won the case, but I forgave them. I'm not running around here holding that against them. It's not going to hurt them. It's going to hurt me. I'm the one walking with God. I tear down those walls. I tear down those bonds. And let the Holy Spirit come in freely. That's what happens when you find out that God lives in you. Church, listen carefully. We see in a very real sense the death of potentials, hopes, and admiration and dreams are now cutting the room floor. Langston Houston says, when dreams die, life is a broken wing of a bird that cannot fly. Friends, listen carefully. When dreams go, life is barren, fields frozen with snow. We all have lost some of our dreams. We cannot get them back. But what are you doing with the dreams you still have? It's time to get up. Church, here's what I come to discover. That in life, many have come to see the death of their dreams, their admirations, hopes, goals, and ambitions have been dashed on the rock of life. Listen, beloved. Let me say this on my way to heaven. If you got dreams, goals, and admiration, if you got unfulfilled and untaped potentials in your life, the time is now is to get up. Some of you sitting in here now have been given a business idea, but you let other folks make you sit on it. Some of you have been blessed. Go back to school. I know 6 people graduating this year, and all of them above 60. It has nothing to do with your 60s. It has to do with your mind being made up. Amen. Friends, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, quit getting advice from other people. And the Holy Spirit, I like Bobby very much. But the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I'm not going to ask Bobby, what do you think about it? Who is Bobby to think about against what the Holy Spirit says? You'll catch it. You'll catch it. I'll give you a laugh for the day. Two of my friends said, but Bill, you can't get married. You're too young. You can't do that. I said, but the Spirit gave her to me. Said, there go your wife. So I said, I'm going to follow the Spirit. And then outside of the Spirit, I like her. I said, she might get away. I said, I had one I liked, and she messed up, so I don't let this one mess up. And I'm definitely not going to mess up. He was married 4 times, and when he died, he didn't have no wife. I was married once. When she died, I still, let me go on. Follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. You will never go wrong. Never. He is your peacemaker and he is your guide. Church, listen. Listen, my love. Let me say this again. For this day ought to be reminding us that tomorrow is not promised to us. I am tired of sailing my little boat safe inside of the harbor bar. I want to go out where the big ships float, out of the deep where the great ones are. Church, and should my craft prove too sly for the winds and the waves that billows over, I'd rather go down in the stirring fight than to sit around home and dream and do nothing. Amen. I went 2 years ago. They have a course for 16 hours, and it deals with the modern language of law. Somebody said to me, what you going to do? What you need to know about the modern language of law? I said, I need to know a lot about it. I said, what? You never know. I says, you meet people, they talk a different language. But you know what the law says, you don't worry about it. Second, it's good for me to know about the law, because I might shoot somebody, and I need to know what rights I have from the Constitution. Let's tell the truth. Second, I need to know some things about the law, because I might get married, and she might try to take the advantage of me, and I know what the law says. And A.V. says, I'm talking reality. You need to know all you can. You don't need to sit around and sleep. Charles used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to work. Now he get up whenever he gets ready. And Charles said, amen. He's back there. Reality won't change. Church, listen carefully. Listen carefully. I use this word. Whatever you go, it's time now for you to get up. It was a time of desperation. Desperation is the loss of hope and a surrender to despair. It's time for us to get up. This woman, I'm sure, was full of extreme anxiety, fear, and worry. She was in a desperate situation. It was desperate because she had lost her husband. Now she's lost her son. And in those days, the children took care of the parents when they got old. Now they put them in a convalescent home and won't even go see them. Amen. Amen. But your day is coming. You will notice that the working of the text, there was a dead man carrying out the only son, his mother, and she was a widow. Lost her husband, lost her son. Here is a woman who has already felt, my friend, the ice hand of death as it took her husband from her and now her son. The only thing remains from her marriage are a few memories and the only son that she and her husband brought into this world is now gone. You hear me today? Now, her precious son has been taken away by death, as well as it was a matter of her, my friend, of her welfare. Because this poor woman has no one left, my friends, to care for her in her old age. For it was up to the woman's children, in spite of her sons, to see that she was caring, my friend, for her declining years. If she'd have been in America, the mother, the daughter-in-law, wouldn't have wanted the son to do nothing for the mother. I don't understand that. I never will understand. I don't understand. I married you because I love you, and you didn't have me. The woman who had me, I owe her something. And now you telling me I can't do nothing? You better jump away from here. I'm saved, full of the Holy Spirit, and I know that. But I'm not that saved. You're not going to run on my mother because you don't like her. That's your problem. You didn't marry her. You married me. So there are some things I'm going to do in spite of what you said. And the amen is from the ceiling. Church, listen carefully. She has nowhere to go and nowhere to turn. She finds herself trapped in a desperate condition. This is the mother. Amen. This is the mother now. Anybody in her in here to ever been there, feeling trapped in a desperate situation, feeling trapped in a set of circumstances that you are powerless to change, seem as if you have nothing to look forward to. My friend, that is the desperate place to be. Here is the good news. Jesus showed up on the scene, but notice the show up at the lowest point. When he came, it was time of deliverance. Thank God the story doesn't end with a dead son and a desperate mother. That's not the end of the story. As a little band of mourners was making their way out of town to go to the cemetery, they met another group of people who were making their way into the town. The first group was weeping over the death of the young man. The second group was rejoicing over the power of Jesus Christ. The first group was led by a sovereign mother. The second group was led by a sovereign master. Yes. When those who grouped together, my friend, at the gates of the city of Nain, a time of death and a time of disappointment and desperation became a time of deliverance. Hallelujah to the King. I may have been lost in my sins, but after a while, deliverance came. Amen. When Jesus arrived in Nain, that afternoon, he arrived during a time of desperation. He always come to his own in desperation. I don't care how low you are, if you're a child of God, he'll show up at the right time. He might send somebody, or he might just wake you up. Friends, notice how he overcame it by his power. The Lord spoke peace to a suffering lady. Verse number 12. We are told that Jesus had compassion on this woman. When he saw her, he understood her circumstances. And he knew what kind of future, my friend, she faced. He needed to touch her heart. And he didn't just stare at her. He didn't say something, if you need something, call me. He had it all what he needed with him. It has been said that desperate times calls for desperate measures. But notice she had not invited Jesus into her situation. Yet, my friend, he ministered to her anyway. That's just like my Jesus. He came to her at the very time she needed him. She wasn't even looking for him. But he showed up anyway. Here's what blows my mind about this miracle. She might have even known about Jesus, but he knew about her. And listen, beloved, that reminds me that God knows what we really need. He knows all about our desperate situation, wherein, and he has compassion on us in spite of us. I've had so many people die in my family, I wonder sometimes, what am I going to do now? And all of a sudden, like a cool breeze blow over me. That was the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here's what somebody needs to know. Today, Jesus cares about you. He never needs to feel, my friend, you. And he never needs to feel what he can't do. And you don't have to feel sorry for yourself when you have Jesus on your side. Friends, a young British student who thought the king had slighted, my friends, him. And then it turned out to be a her. When Edward II, the seventh, was visiting a city to lay a cornerstone for a new hospital, thousands of children were present to greet him. Following the ceremony, the king walked past this exciting youngster. And after he was gone, my friend, a teacher saw the young student crying. She asked her, "Why are you crying? Did you not see the king?" "Yes," the young girl sobbed, "but the king didn't see me." What a time it's for us to get up. King might not, you might not see the king, but he sees you. That's what counts. Listen, beloved, can I help somebody? Today, we may be overlooked by the King of England, but we are never overlooked by the King of Kings. And although we may not be able to see him, he sure sees us. And in our desperate situation, know that he cares for us. Jesus said to her, "Don't cry." It's like saying, "Don't cry." He says, "No, I got your back." The sovereign Lord spoke life to the slain lad. Verses 13 through 15. And after calming the mother, Jesus merely speaks to the deceased, this boy, and look what he says. And he immediately showed, my friends, showed this boy that he could get up even though he's on his way to the cemetery. But Jesus spoke, and he not only did he wake up, but he got up. And I believe that. Show two clear signs of life. First, he got up, and then he spoke up. When you get saved, and you know God saved you, you ought to speak up. You shouldn't let the devil drown out your testimony. Amen. Speak up, because Jesus now has gotten you up. Hallelujah to the King. Just as he had for that mother, Jesus operate on grace for the son. The boy did not ask to be raised up, but he was raised anyway. Amen. Little beloved, whether you know it or not, there is a God. There is a God. There is a God. I said there is a God. When the last time you were down and didn't think you was going to be able to get up, and all of a sudden after midnight, you felt a breeze of peace, love, and happiness. I might not know much, but I do know I'm glad One day I was down and didn't know what's going to happen. But he touched me and I got up. Wherever I go, the world knows that I was once down, but now I'm up. Hallelujah. I was in the Capitol last year and the congressman said to me here, he says, where have you been? I said, I've been doing my job. He said, what, you got a job? I said, oh, yeah, full time. He says, well, that's too much. You're working. You're doing two different things. I said, no. I only have one job, just in two different places. I'm here now, but I'll be gone in a few minutes. That's what happens when he raised you up and assigns you. I thought, when some of my relatives died, especially my mother, that I would never be the same. Yes, sir. I couldn't see her dying. Yes, and I remember the Spirit spoke to me so clear, she's fine. What about you? Yes, and then I stepped up. I said, there's the only thing I can do for God. You might do something different. The only main thing I can do for God is to praise him. You want to make God happy. Praise. You said, but that's going to make, yes, the book says. You see, when you praise him, you can't praise him and worry at the same time. Every now and then, there ought to be a praise in you. You ought to just stop and praise him. These musicians can play well, that's fine, but they need to praise him sometimes without music. You see, the reason you ought to praise him, he's the one that pumps life in you. When life seems to be gone, he pumps it back into you. The reason we ought to praise him, because in the morning, you don't see it now, but he sees in your life what tomorrow is going to bring. You ought to praise him because he's the only one can keep your secrets. He's the only one that's going to help you when it's time to cross over. You ought to praise him. Somebody said, well, what if you die and don't make it into heaven? That's you. I cannot miss heaven because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus and he took a pen and signed my name through the blood. And the devil can't erase the blood. I got to praise him because I love him. The reason I praise him, he's the only one I know that I can trust my life in his hand. He is worthy just to be praised. Try sometime just praising him. Let us stand and you'll discover life becomes easier when you praise him.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
While you're thinking, we sing. Somebody back here with a voice. There's a song that says, I didn't say that. It says, every praise is to our God. Is somebody volunteer and come and lead that song? Every praise belongs to who? God. Not some praise, but every praise.
Yes. Thank you.
Where you come today. Every praise. Every praise. Every praise. Every praise. Will you come today? Every praise. Will you come today?
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship.
Every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise is to our God.
Will you come today?
Sing hallelujah.
To our God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Will you come today?
Sing every praise.
Every praise is to our God. Will you come? Will you come today?
Glory, hallelujah.
Will you come today? Will you come today?
Every praise to our God.
Will you come today?
Will you come today?
God. Will you come today?
God, my deliverer. Yes, he is.
Will you come? Yes, he is.
God, my savior.
Will you come today?
God, my healer.
Oh, yeah.
God, my deliverer.
Will you come today? Will you come today? Will you come today? Will you come today? Will you come today?
Every praise.
Will you come today? Oh, yeah. Will you come today? Will you come today? A few weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, a lady